Well, hello, everybody. This is Pastor Tom coming to you once again via a recording back in my office, back where I was last time, and I'm sitting here just looking up at the clock and saying, okay, try to keep it short. Don't get too involved in all the ins and outs of what's going on today, but stay on course, stay on track. That's my motto. Let me say, first of all, that it is a great pleasure and opportunity before me of sharing the Word of God with you. Number two, I hope it's not boring. If it is, you have the power to turn it off at any time. Isn't that wonderful? You can't really do that when you're sitting in church unless you zone out and look at your cell phone and answer messages. You know how it goes. Of course, we all do that from time to time. I'm not saying you in particular or me, but there are people around who, yes, they like to dig into that old cell phone and check out the latest deals online and look at things. Okay, so you don't do it. Well, there are some that do it. Time here is about 1:30 on a Friday afternoon. There is some good news coming out from the coronavirus. I think it's called COVID-19, COVID-19. I believe that's the new name they've given to it. Well, the good news is they are coming out with some things out there, drugs and so forth, that seem very positive to combat this disease. And I've heard of plasma. I've heard of chloroquine. It's an anti-malaria drug. I have had an uncle, Uncle Johnny, World War II veteran, came back from, I think, the Philippines, World War II, end of it, and had malaria, which he had all of his life, but I never knew it really, only that my dad told me, and when he would have a flare-up, he took some sort of a drug that was prescribed to him. Now I'm learning that that drug is called chloroquine. And they have found that it has some positive effects on people that have the coronavirus. How about that? Then we have plasma. Some plasma is being used in those that had once had the coronavirus. There's different strands of this, they say, and overcame the disease, built up antibodies, and then, praise the Lord, they can use their blood plasma to be an antidote. Wow. Now, doesn't that almost sound biblical? Really interesting. Hey, let me share this real quick with you too, while we're talking about that. Years ago, I was a young man, young teenager, I should say. We're living in a part of California that had a lot of open ground behind us. And there were a lot of rattlesnakes. And in fact, that's the most rattlesnakes I ever saw in my life, was back in that open land. Well, on the news one day, they were talking about a man that had been bitten so many times by a rattlesnake, and he had built up these antibodies so strong and so effective that they would actually use this guy to get some of his blood, and if somebody had a rattlesnake bite, they'd use his blood to fight against that rattlesnake bite. And I saw him on TV, and the reason I remember all this is because it's right when my brother and I and some friends of ours were always looking around for rattlesnakes out on this open land, and sure enough, we'd almost always find them somewhere. And so right about that time, I saw this guy on TV, and they were flying him to some other city in a helicopter, being rushing this guy out, and then they show him in this kind of a cot, lounge chair type thing, given his blood, and that blood was being transfused into a person that was bitten by the snake. And I thought, well, there it is. There's the way it is for Christians. We get a transfusion of the blood of Jesus into our veins. Now, not in the natural sense, of course, but in a spiritual sense. And that's the antibodies that you need to fight against sin. Okay, take that and chew on it for a while. All right, today I want to move into Psalm 91, verses 9 through 12. Now, Psalm 91 has been a very comforting psalm for me. And I want to share it with you in this next section about what I'm finding there. I find a great soothing message of victory. Brings me great peace to read this. I dream about when I read it, where it was written, why it was written, and the era that it might have been written in, and all the dangers all around the people. And this psalmist is coming in and sharing what's going on around him. He sees things. There's sickness. There is war. There's things happening that's very destructive. And yet, he finds his hope in the Lord. And when he gets into verses 9 through 12, that's where I'm going to be today. There's some things there that we need to talk about and really dig into. But let me pray first. We'll get into the word here shortly, but let's pray, ask God for his blessing. Father, in the name of Jesus, this great day, Lord, that you've created. In the morning, the Bible says all your mercies are new every morning, and they're throughout the day. We can rise with you. We can go out throughout the entire day with you. We can close our eyes tonight with Jesus. Such a great blessing. What a wonderful time to live. As trying as it is, Lord, there's always hope in you. There's always something on the horizon that you're doing. And you said in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us. So if anybody is feeling a little bit down, Lord, touch them today and help them to see your power and your grace in the midst of this tremendous time of need and preparation, all these things going on all around us. And we need your help, Lord. We do need your help. In the name of Jesus, amen. So the writer begins here, and he starts in with something, as I kind of talked about this here before, but I want to, as a going back to my other message last week, he says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come close to you. Now, what I want to say there, and I really want to emphasize this man is in a position where there's something coming at him from all sides, his left, his right, it's coming straight at him. And whatever it is beginning to fall by the wayside. It's beginning to drop, that it is not coming there near him. It's not going to take him down. What I want to say about that is there's a lot of things coming at us every day. There's newscasts. One newscast said, one man one day said there would be 45 million Americans affected by the coronavirus. And when I heard that, my heart sank. 45 million. Out of that number, who's going to die from this disease or this virus? Who's going to be taken down? Can it reach children? That's what I was asking at that time. Another man gets on there and he says, this is what's going to happen to us following how it went from China to Italy. And this is the way it's going to be happening here. We follow the pattern and the peaking of this disease at some level. It'll peak out and then it begins to drop off. And all of that, it makes you sad. It just gets to you. You say, I can't hear any more of this. I don't want to hear any more. I'm up to here with this virus news. There's got to be some good news out there. Well, I believe that the writer of this psalm was in the same place. Something was coming at him by 1,000 on one side, 10,000 on another, and his hope was in the Lord, and he knew that his hope was in God, and these things would fall by the wayside. They would just not have the strength to touch him and to bring him down. There was something about the power of God that was working in his life that gave him hope. And here's what he says, because I have made the Lord my God, my refuge. 10,000 would come to one side and his right side, 1,000 on the other side, but it wouldn't come close to him because he has made the Lord his refuge. A refuge is a safe place. A refuge is where you are protected. The Bible talks about God surrounding us with holy angels. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, not death and destruction. Surely goodness and mercy. The Lord is our protection. He is our shield and our buckler. We talked about that last week. So when we make the Lord our refuge, and he goes on here and he says, because we have made the Most High our habitation, it's where we dwell. We do not dwell, even though physically in the world, I understand. When I say this, I totally get it. I'm not ignorant to these things that I'm saying, but there's something about dwelling in the kingdom of God and being protected there in God's kingdom. And in that kingdom, Paul said that in the kingdom of God is not meat or drink as you suppose, but peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Peace, righteousness, and joy. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you, all those worldly things that you all are thinking about every day, your protection, your cleaning your hands, your washing your hands, your doing things, you're going and staying so many feet away from other people. And yesterday, when restaurants were still open, I went in, my wife and I went into Einstein's, and we went in there and we looked at the chairs, and they moved the chairs in a place where you could only sit not that close to somebody else. And the lady that was waiting on us said that she had to wash her hands every 15 minutes and then put on new gloves every 15 minutes. All of this stuff going on. And so that's around us. But we've made the Lord our habitation. We've made him our refuge, our safety place. And so all this is going on around us, but we can have peace in the Lord. Peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things, your food and all that will be added on to you. Today at Fry's store, we went in there, we braved the crowds, had to buy a few things. And so there we were. And I noticed, I said, oh, wow, shelves are beginning to be empty, kind of what I thought might happen. But here they were. And I said to one of the ladies working there, I said, this is a sight that Americans never see. There's empty shelves. And she said, isn't it strange? I said, yeah, because it looks like every time you go into a store, like it's been freshly packed with food. Everything's brought forward. You go down an aisle. Everything is, looks like it's just been put in there just now. It all looks so neat, and never do you reach for cereal and have to hardly ever go to the back one. It's usually right there in the front because they're constantly moving things forward. They go throughout the store, those workers, and they pull things forward so that you can see them. It's part of the way it works in a store or any retail place that you go into. Everything is pulled front, so you grab it, it's there, it's ready to go. And you just think, oh man, this is how it always is. But not really. They're always stocking that place. They work overnight stocking these stores, and they pull things forward throughout the day. You hardly notice them, but that's what they're doing. So I just thought I'd share that with you about the food supply. Amen. To the goodness of God. Now he's going to get into the heart of what I want to talk about. Then shall no evil befall you. Meaning that it will not take over you. This will not overcome you. I think that you have the power to be able to say that's far enough. See, the fear really begins in the mind, doesn't it? It's what we think. It's what could happen. That's what they're trying to do. Sometimes they want to get us all the truth, but they bring more fear than anything else. What could happen? This might happen. It's possible that you could get this. It's almost to the place where you almost don't even want to get out of bed. And so I'm to encourage you, go on with your normal life. Just take all the precautions. No evil is going to come before us. It's not going to take over. It's not going to come in like a flood. In fact, the Bible says when the enemy comes in like that, like a flood, God will raise up a standard even higher, 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 higher and higher. So to combat that flood, when the devil comes in, when it begins to come in like a flood, maybe that's how it reads in the Bible, like a flood, God will raise up a standard. But whatever it is, you've got safety there. The hand of the Lord is out before you. He's going to watch over you and keep you safe in this time of trouble.
Boy, do we need it right now. We need the comfort of the Holy Spirit in a big way right now, right in our midst. No plague shall come close to you or your dwelling. Now, boy, this is the heart of the psalm. No plague will come close to me. Now, I want to say something here. Guys, we're going to get into the verses about the angels in just a moment. Very, very important. Very important. I don't want to skip over them. I don't want to lose you. I don't want you to think about something else. I want you to stay with me for the next few minutes. This is very important. Because we have a misunderstanding. You see, there are some churches have said, we're going to open our doors no matter what. The president may have said, no more than 10 people to intermingle with. And he might have said those things, and he might have got that information from men that are around him, men and women that are knowledgeable about all this that's going on. But I'm still going to trust the Lord, and I'm, as a pastor, I'm still going to open my church, and I'm still going to have, even large churches are saying that. We've heard rumors of some churches, I can't verify it, that are quite large. But I do know of some churches that are large that they're taking this stance like, I'm the bravest pastor around. No plague is going to come close to my dwelling. I'm going to lead my sheep, you know, right back into this place. And I'm going to have something to say about that in just a moment. But I don't believe that that is wisdom. Let me share what happened to me. The night it was Phil. He was getting the word from the headquarters here, the conference, and they were talking about foregoing their service in Southern California. That's where most of the churches are. There's, I guess, one or so in Hawaii, the Holiness Conference. But they began to follow the lead in California of those that were saying, we really need to limit getting together. And the church decided that's a good idea. But when Phil wrote me about it and told me through email, my first response, I guess it's like any pastor, you know, you hear that and you say, I'm not going to, that's just what's going on here. I'm not going to go for that. And then the Lord had me sit back a little bit and say, wait a minute, hold on. There's something more at work than what you're allowing right now. And my wife knew I was upset. She said, oh, just, you know, whatever, just take it easy. And I took a breath in and I said, okay. Because the first instinct of a pastor is not to try to operate in fear. You don't want to bring fear in your group and everybody's now moving in fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. So I said, okay, Lord, what are you saying? And the next verses are what the Lord gave to me, and it calmed me down. That's why I'm telling you that this, since that day, that's been just over a week ago, I believe, that these verses have calmed, put a calm upon me, a peace that I can't explain. This has been a very comforting psalm in that way. Now, he says, I'll read the verse. I'll read the thought here. No plague shall come close to your dwelling, for God will command his angels concerning you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, their wings, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Do you recall that verse and this whole text from the devil tempting Jesus? Now we need to put ourselves in context, don't we? He said to Jesus, this scripture said, cast yourself off of this cliff, off the temple, I believe he was there. Because the Bible says, and boy, the devil is good about quoting and misquoting scripture. He said, for the Bible says that God will give his angels charge or command over you to take care of you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. But he left out something there, didn't he? So if you're with me, I don't know what verse it is. I'm getting down to verse 11 and 12, I believe. I'm going on my notes here. But he says that God will command his angels, will give them charge over you concerning you. Here's the clause, in all your ways. That's where the Lord stopped me. That's where he said, take a look at this and understand why the enemy, the devil, would use that scripture to tempt Jesus, to throw himself off, and to then be had to be held up by the angels for protection, lest he dashed his foot even against a stone. Think about a stone, that's nothing, right? And your foot hitting a little pebble, nothing. Look at all the protection that the devil was tempting Jesus with. Look at this. Even God said that. And then Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And I know he did. And he does use my name when he speaks to me. And so I'll say it like I felt it that day. Tom, do not tempt the Lord your God. One day I was at a restaurant witnessing to a guy and talking about the protection of the Lord. And I was so new in the Lord that I didn't know a lot of the Bible yet. I still don't, to be honest about it. The more you think you know, the less you really know. I think that's how it is in life. But he said to me, if you really believe that, then why don't you go out into the middle of that street out there, and if a car comes at you, just keep standing there and you won't get killed. And when he said it, now my instinct was, no, stupid, I'm not going to do that. I had no idea what the Bible said, but it didn't make sense to me. I thought, no, God isn't going to keep me from doing that. God, that truck or car or whatever is going to run right over me. I'll be dead in a second. No, I'm not going to do that. And now I learned that you don't do that because you're not supposed to tempt or test God in that way. Now, could you for a moment just walk with me? Those of you who might be wondering why we're not having service through this time, just come with me for this. So would we really want to take a group of people and bring them in harm's way of something that might hurt an older person, that might bring harm to them? Would we want to tempt the Lord or test him to say, oh, that person will not get sick because I've got faith. I'm believing God. They're going to be fine. They're not going to have any problem whatsoever. Really? Isn't that what we're not supposed to do? So when the Lord got a hold of my heart, which is probably, I'll tell you, was about 5 minutes after I got that email from Phil, and I said, just hold on a second here. This is actually good advice. This is wisdom personified, really. This is about being wise and listening to the authorities around you and taking note of all that. So when the Bible says that God will give his angels charge over you, command them to take care of you concerning you in all your ways. And when the Lord spoke to me, He began to say, that's not the way I want you to go. So I hope you got that. It's so important right here that this scripture is the one that you may want to use. You may want to say, no plague will come near my home. And I'll share what that's about in a moment. But no, so therefore, his angels are going to take care of me. And lest I dash my foot against a stone, I am safe in the arms of God. Well, yes, you are safe in the arms of God. But are you going to go directly into harm's way? Now, if we could get into a hospital or we could get into a nursing home, and let's say somebody was infected with the coronavirus, and you just got stubborn and you said, I'm going anyway because God is protecting me, I'd have to say, no, buddy, you better hold on and not do that, because now you might get yourself infected. And then it's an expo entro infection, isn't it? It's 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, and onward it goes. It doubles, doubles, doubles. It's the penny a day, doubling every day until about day number 27 or 26, and now you've made over $1 million. We've done that little test at church one day when I was preaching, and that's the multiplication of numbers. And so we find ourselves not in a place where we're really, truly trusting God, but we're being foolish. I know that you've heard of parents who are trusting God by faith that their son or daughter is going to be healed. And they've said no to medicine. They said no to a blood transfusion. They said no to medical help. And they made a bold statement and became actually a foolish statement, didn't it? But they would make a bold statement. I'm going to trust God all the way with the health and the well-being of my son or my daughter. And then the son or daughter dies. And you go, and then that couple, They're disillusioned with God because they said, now, Lord, I really stepped out there for you. I mean, I was on a limb and I cut the limb off and I said you were going to bring healing. And then the healing didn't come. So they're disillusioned. Then the church looks pretty weird. You know, that's a testimony out there. So what am I saying in all of that? Let me wrap that thought up to this. For churches to say we're going to stay open and we're going to have our services anyway, in my opinion, and I guess that's what you're hearing anyway with the sermon, my opinion, right? Well, in my opinion, that is not wisdom. That's really foolishness. And I would advise not to do that. Okay? So maybe you're saying we should be having services right along. I don't know of anybody that's thinking that way. But if you were, just to step back a little bit and know the scripture that I gleaned from and that I was able to take a few nice bites of food from this and enjoy that, that word, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. I was able to eat some food that God was given to me, and I was able to drink some of that great water that he has, that everlasting water. And I was able to feed my soul, and I was able to cleanse my mind and get this thing straightened out and get an understanding and get a perspective of what God is saying. There's the psalm. And it comforted me by, you know, it was kind of like dessert in a way when you think about it. You know what comfort food is? My wife would love to have, at one time, she used to love fried chicken. I mean, that was her comfort food. And we would go to Lucky Wishbone. She would like that place. Or another one, I can't think of the name right now. It wasn't, it just slipped my mind, but it wasn't Kentucky Fried Chicken. And it wasn't Popeyes. But anyway, whatever it is for comfort food, maybe it's chocolate. For me, it would be dark chocolate, but it's got to be not the high percentage. I got to have the good stuff. In fact, what I really like would be my most comforting food of all time. It would be chocolate-covered almonds, dark chocolate-covered almonds. Boy, does that sound good right now. Big glass of milk. Bunch of that chocolate before me and just be nibbling on it. Actually, I couldn't stop, so you can't give me too much. I'd be like overdoing it. But this psalm has been like that for me. It's been a comfort. It's been like dessert or something I really crave or something I really go for. Maybe you have a taste for something out there and going for that. That's what you've been looking for, and that's the taste you were, oh yeah, that hit the spot. That's what I wanted, and that was what I got. When I was reading this psalm, it says, I needed that, Lord. I mean, I said, I needed that, Lord. That's what I needed. When I dug into it, that did it. So let me share these final thoughts. And they go like this. Fear paralyzes, love frees, worry drives you, makes you driven, freedom carries you, death darkens your path, people talk death, right? That will darken your path, Life lights up your path. I want you to take those words and be a comfort to you, because we are on a road we've never been on before. I will share more about where we are next time, but for now, let me end. It's been right at 30 minutes. I think you've had enough of me. I don't know for sure, but I actually can listen to myself all the time. When I write a book, I can read that book several times. I don't know why that is. It's just interesting to me. When I hear myself talk, it's just great. I hear my own voice. All right, who wouldn't want to? All right. I know what you're saying. Time to end. Father, in the name of Jesus, what an honor it has been again today to call upon the name of the Lord and to pray and to preach and to share and to just rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your voices be heard on high. My trust is in the Lord. In Him I will walk. I will not fear. I will go with Jesus, but I will be wise. And I will not tempt the Lord and do anything foolish that I know we shouldn't be doing. So, Lord, I just call out to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Bring these things home in a great way. In Jesus' name, amen.